You're tuned into WONY 90.9 on the Onset. Red Dragon Radio. Thanks for listening. Keep it locked. This is Power Radio.
Hey, let me ask you something. Do you really know where you're getting your news from? Now, you might say you're a Wall Street Journal reader, or that the New York Post is what's got your attention. Maybe you check out Fox News to get your updates. But what if I told you that those three publications are all owned by the same company? How about I add on to that and let you know that just six megacorporations own 90% of all media sources in America? Just six. All it takes is one executive of one company to lift their finger, and millions of people get fed the same info, whether that info is true or not, and no matter who everyone subscribes to. It's just something interesting to know. Next time you think about where you're getting your news from.
Hello, everybody. I hope everyone had such a lovely summer, discovering a bunch of new artists during the break. Moni is so excited to be back, and all of our DJs are sincerely looking forward to starting up all of their shows, starting this week. Make sure to stay tuned for all of your favorite student, community, and faculty-led shows coming back onto the air throughout the week, only on WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. Make sure to stay cool, have a lovely start to your semester, and keep it locked.
You're listening to the New Ads Hour on WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. I've got a text.
What'd it say?
WONY is my type on paper.
You're turning back the air. Can't seem to let it all go. No matter how things appear, it's always who you know. Jawbreaker risk.
The following hour will be a talk show with one of our DJs. Views and opinions expressed during this program are those of our hosts and guests.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is An. I'm your DJ on air, and we are back with the first edition of my new show called What? That's right. You're back on the first episode of my new show called What? Every Sunday, 11 to 12 p.m. And just a heads up, I may or may not be changing it because all my other shows were on Sunday or Saturday. I might mix it up and do a Friday. So anyways, I want to welcome you all to my first episode of What? I'm very excited. You may be wondering, oh, what is this show about? I heard the talk show warning. Surely you're going to talk. And you're right. I am going to talk. Talk about what? I don't know. And that's going to be really exciting. So because it's the first episode, I'm still getting a little set up here. I want to thank you guys in advance for your patience, my all 6 million viewers. The concept I have for the show, hopefully you guys will like this, is that I would like to answer questions. And you may be wondering, well, on what qualifies you to answer questions for the general public and for the masses to follow or not follow your advice? And that's a very good question. I'll answer it for you right now. Nothing qualifies me. I have no qualifiers. I have very little life experience, honestly. You know, I did therapy for a few years, so I kind of got a little therapy speak. That might be good. I'm not a psychology major. I'm not a English major. I'm an art major. You know, and is an art major the person you want to ask questions about life to? Probably not, but I'm the only one doing it, I think. So you're going to ask those questions. Because it's the first episode and I didn't plan this very well, the phone is off the hook. That's not good. All right, the phone is back on the hook. I have very little questions to answer today, but I'll answer what I can, and then we'll, you know. Right now I'm writing a little letter to all the members in the DJ who may be in the studio, and it says, what is the head, is the header. Hi, this is On Heart. Leave a question, and I will answer it on my show, What? So hopefully, you know, when I come back around next Sunday, that will be full of questions, and we can answer them together. And hopefully, you guys will keep an eye out, because I was thinking of making some posters with a little Google form, and so you guys can scan the QR code and ask me a question. Because I know everyone is really vying for my attention, they're really vying for my answers, and they want to know what I have to say, is what I've been saying. So yeah, all right, let's get started. I do have some questions here. Because, you know, life is really just full of questions. There's questions like, why is the chair in the studio so short that I can't really reach the board? Why does my phone not have an aux cord? Like, it doesn't have an aux plug. I got a new phone. I got the Razer Flip. Yeah, 2025. And it flips open. It's really fun. But it doesn't have a headphone jack. So I can't put an aux cord in it. Why is that? Probably greed. I don't know. I have Bluetooth headphones, so it's okay, but, like, what the frick? All right, first question. How would you comfort someone who woke up late and didn't have time to eat breakfast? Now, this is a good one, okay? And this is a good one because we all know someone who is late to things. Sorry if you guys hear my phone keychains. Here, let me jingle it for you. It's all on my phone. This is a good one because we all know someone who gets up late and doesn't eat breakfast and then complains about getting up late and not eating breakfast. Here's my thing. If this is a once, you know, if this is someone who is usually very prompt and very eager to eat a meal, and this might be very reminiscent of my previous show. I think it was the first show I ever did was for dinner. You know, it's not their fault. Okay? First of all, you want to comfort them because missing the most important meal of the day is a big deal. Now, again, a lot of contesting on whether breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And I have something to say about that, but let's answer the question first. This show is really, can I answer the question without getting sidetracked? So we're really going to see today. How would you comfort someone who woke up late and didn't eat breakfast? If this is a regular breakfast eater, that's upsetting because, you know, that's a routine. When you break the routine, people who have good routines and they get broken are usually very upset. So first of all, you want to comfort that person because that's something that would never happen. They would never miss a meal. And that's really not their fault. You know, promise, you might get lunch later. You might offer a snack. You might offer a drink of water, you know. I think that's a pretty good response to that. Now, if this is a repeat offender, you know, someone who is consistently waking up late and consistently never eating breakfast, but complaining about how they didn't eat breakfast and how they woke up late, that's just on you, man. You know, don't eat breakfast once, shame on you. Don't eat breakfast twice, shame on you. Don't eat breakfast three times, shame on you for telling everyone that you didn't eat breakfast, man. You know, you gotta, come on, you gotta get your schedule together. And listen, I'm not hating. I'm not gonna hate. Being hungry is not a good feeling. But you gotta know yourself at that point. At that point, I would suggest that you kind of have things ready for you to go. If you know that you consistently miss breakfast, just start laying like little granola bars under your blankets and stuff before you go to bed at night, you know? And I'm not going to say pack a lunch because packing the night before is a lot of preparation and forethought. That's something I don't really have either. So don't even listen to the people who are like, oh, you should make breakfast for yourself in the morning. You should pack lunch. Don't do that. Go and buy like the cheapest 20-pack of granola or protein bars or whatever and just start scattering them around your house or wherever you live. It's really going to help because you're going to see it and you're going to go, oh my God, food. And then you're going to pick it up and you're going to. It's going to be better than if you didn't eat anything. And it's not too much work, you know? And at least you can be like, you know? Because if you just get up and you're out and you're hungry, it's like, ah, man. But if you get up and you get out and you go, oh my God, I have a granola bar in my back pocket, it's like a saving grace, you know? Like, even if it's not enough, you know it's like it's going to hold you on. Like, that emotion you get from finding that granola bar and eating it, emotionally, that's going to hold you over. So that would be my suggestion to people who wake up late and can't and didn't eat breakfast. I would suggest you start hiding food around your home. And that will emotionally, you'll get excited because you're like, that's food. And also it'll hold you over. Now, if you're someone who doesn't get excited about food that much, this may not work. I get really excited about food and snacks in general. So I cannot guarantee the validity of this solution. And remember, as I said before, am I qualified to answer these questions? Not really. But let's continue. Next question. What to do if more than one bee is chasing you? Okay. What to do if more than one bee is chasing you at a time? Now, this is a difficult question, okay? Because a majority of people are only going to encounter one bee at a time. For you to encounter two bees simultaneously is, I feel, relatively rare depending on where you are. Now, if you work at, what is a bee farm called? An apiary? A topiary? If you're a bee farmer, this is not the question for you. Okay, you're used to handling this. But for the regular people, this is an issue. Now, this also, I feel, depends on the type of bee. Because I know a lot of people think of bees as a hive, but I also know there are a lot of solitary bees. And I think those are the ones you usually encounter. So, again, for there to be more than one bee at a time is a little rare. Now, let's talk about the type of bee, okay? I'm not very well versed on the types of bees, but I know there's a honeybee, which is like the cool one, a carpenter bee, which is like the big fuzzy one, and there's one other bee I am blanking on, which I think is like a solitary bee. First, let's make the distinction. The bee is not the wasp. If two bees show up, it's better than one wasp. You're gonna be okay, okay? First of all, if you're being assailed by two bees right now and you're waiting for me to get the answer, okay, first of all, stop, okay? Don't take a deep breath. Hold your breath. Well, don't hold your breath, but you should cover your mouth a little bit because I hear that bees are attracted to CO2. So when you exhale, they're like, ooh, what's going on over there? Let me see what's going on. So first of all, don't breathe, but also don't panic, okay? Breathe, but like cover your face a little bit with your hand, okay? Now, here's the next thing. There's two options you can do if you're getting assailed by the two, okay? Now, if you were getting assailed by the one, I would recommend this strategy, which is to cover your mouth and stand up very slowly and walk away. If you have anything in your hand that's attracting the bee, I would probably let the bee have it. Depends on what it is, you know? Like, if you're eating an apple and it's just the core, give him the core. But if you're eating an apple and you're, like, only, like, two bites in, you could probably, like, hold the apple near you, you know, and, like, it'll maybe go away. You know, they like flowers more or whatever. This, again, depends on what you have in your hand that may be attracting the bee. And whether you think it's worth donating it to the bee, let's think about donating it or trying to keep it. Now, I would only recommend that if you're getting attacked by one bee. If you're getting attacked by two, here's where it gets tricky, okay? Because you can't stand up and escape because the other bee is going to be blocking your exit, you know? This is where I would recommend standing still. Now, I know this can feel like a fear factor type thing, but I just want you to know you're going to come out much braver and much stronger than before you went in and you were assailed by two bees, okay? And again, I want to preface that, do I have any certifications to be answering these questions? No, but I do want to mention that when I was 14 and I would babysit my cousin, I would wait for him, for his bus to drop him off down the street from my house. And one time I was eating an apple, as one does, while waiting for the little cousin to get dropped off. And this wasn't a bee, this was a wasp. I was holding the apple in my hand, right? Staying stock still, because I know, you don't want to get aggressive, you don't want to flail. That'll make you attack. They'll attack you. So I'm holding the apple in my hand, close to my body, because I wasn't even a third through this apple. And it was like a big Honeycrisp apple. I don't care how scared I am, I'm not donating that apple to the wasp. No. So anyways, I was holding the apple near my hand, and he started eating the apple. The wasp came up and he started eating the apple, and it was really scary. Because he didn't just eat the apple, he started like licking the juices off my hand. That's right, he was on my hand and he was licking the apple juices off my fingers. And it was really scary because his little feet were tickling me. And he was crawling around my knuckles, in between my fingers, all over the stem, all over the part I was eating. And I guess he got a good enough taste because he did eventually leave. And unfortunately, I did not get to finish that apple that day. And I still think about it sometimes. It was a really good apple. So the apple was abandoned on the side of the road. But sometimes the sacrifice is necessary because guess what happened once I abandoned the apple? Two more wasps showed up and started eating the apple. So again, not the same as a bee, but if you're getting attacked by two bees right now and you're eating an apple and you're really, really scared of bees, I would recommend you just do the smart thing. Take the hit, leave the apple on the bench or whatever, and let them have it, you know? And you may be worried, like, that's littering. Yes, but it's an apple, and we're like an apple farm. You know, a squirrel's going to come eat that. The bee's going to drink some of the juice from it. It's going to decompose, and it's going to go back to the grass, okay? Just don't leave it on concrete. See if you can throw it and eat in some grass somewhere. So if you're getting attacked by two bees, I would recommend that. To recap, cover your mouth so they don't taste the CO2. Either remove yourself slowly from the situation or stay still till they leave. If you have someone that's attracting them, abandon the apple. I've heard, I think this is a myth, that like if you smell good, the bee will come get you. I don't know if that's true. And I think if that's the case, you gotta be chill with the bees, you know? And honestly, I feel like if you were getting attacked by two bumblebees, or like the carpenter bees, the really big, fat, fuzzy ones, you have a little more validity to be scared, I feel like, because they're the most harmless ones, but they are like a huge, like, it's like a big, fat caterpillar coming flying at you. You know, I can understand that. So, again, you're going to be okay. If you're allergic to bees, make sure you keep that EpiPen on you. But there's that. I feel like there was a comment I wanted to make on the breakfast question that I'm forgetting. If you eat breakfast, maybe it'll come to me. All right. Next question. Hopefully you guys all found that really useful. All right. Hanging out with a friend who is anxious about their hair smelling. How should I assure them that I don't care or that it doesn't smell? Well, first of all, that answer's already been kind of answered. Because you just got to be like, hey, I love you and it doesn't smell. You know? Now, this depends on the person. You know, if this is a regularly smelly person you're friends with, I think some larger intervention needs to be had outside of the hair. You know, but for someone who is regularly clean, you know, who likes to smell good, this is a big deal, you know, because maybe it was really humid that day. Maybe they're really sweating a lot. Maybe they had some exercise in and they, you know, they didn't have time to take a shower. Now you guys are hanging out and their hair is greasy and they're feeling a little anxious about the greasy hair, about how it looks, if you can smell it. Now, I'm going to be honest, I don't know what greasy hair should smell like. I've never been close enough to a person with straight hair that gets greasy enough to smell it. So I can't really answer this question. This is, again, where my qualifications come in. I don't think I'm qualified to answer that. I do not have straight hair. I'm not white, just in case you guys were wondering. So I can't relate to that. I mean, I can tell when my hair smells, you know. But for me, I would have to go like 3 or 4 weeks before my hair really starts to like be gross. I'm due for a hair wash this weekend, guys. Tonight, it's going to get washed. It'll be nice and fresh and ready to go for the week. So I guess I don't need to know what like bad hair smelling for a white person is to answer this question, but I would just say, just be like, listen, man, it happens to the best of us. I'm sure when you have the chance to wash it, it'll smell great and look amazing. And, you know, we're going to get through this together. And I don't think any less of you for having greasy or smelly hair. I think that's a nice thing you could say to your friend or person you're with who's a little anxious about you smelling their hair. Now, why you'd be close enough to smell their hair in the first place, I'm not sure. I don't have a great sense of smell. So maybe it's like more powerful than I think. But I think you really have to be up on the person to smell their hair. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong. Call in and let me know what gross hair smells like. The phone number is 607-436-2711. That's right, 607-436-2711. Call in and let me know what it smells like. I'd be glad to hear it. I don't know, just be a nice friend and don't make them anxious, you know? And definitely don't be like, yeah, it smells really bad, okay? That's probably the worst thing you could do. I would ignore, even if it smells really bad. But if it's, like, not smelling really bad consistently, it's not, like, every time you hang out it smells like farts, then I would take some more serious action. But this is a once-in-a-never type thing. I'd just be like, dude, your hair doesn't smell at all. You're good. I wouldn't even offer, like, dry shampoo. I wouldn't offer them anything because they're going to be like, oh, my God, my hair does stink. I'd just be like, dude, it's chill. We're still going to hang out. I still love you. It's okay. So that's how I think you should respond to that situation. Hopefully that helped you. If you're hanging out with someone who has gross smelling hair right now, maybe consider that, you know. Hopefully that helped. All right, next question. How do I know the right person to travel with? Now, this is a good question. Again, going on the certifications, do I have certifications about traveling? Not really. I think the furthest out of the country I've been is Canada, once or twice. I did recently go to Chicago, which is quite far from here. It's about from Syracuse, where I'm from. It's about a 10-hour train ride. I don't know how long a drive. Only a 3-day walk, though, which was, like, still a lot, but I was, like, I feel like that would take longer to walk, so who knows. And the people I've traveled with are very exclusive, either to my parents or myself. One time, my cousin. But I will say this. I have gone on a few solo trips, a few times to New York City, few times went like twice to Baltimore and once to Chicago. And this is where I think I'm qualified to know, to say, how do you know the right person to travel with, okay? Because you have to know, if you're traveling for business, I don't think this matters. If you're traveling for vacation and for enjoyment, there's a lot of things that can go wrong. So this is where I think you should be a little selfish and know what you want from the trip and the experience before you leave. If you're taking this trip purely for enjoyment, if you have the resources and the privileges available to have a nice vacation, you should make sure that vacation is what you want it to be, okay? Now, this is different if you're, like, tagging along with your parents or, like, your aunt invited you or something. If you are the one funding this vacation, you should be able to dictate how you want it to go to some degree. I say this because not everyone has the same priorities on vacation, right? If you go on a vacation and you know you want to party, you want to see, like, historical monuments, and you'd like to, like, hit the beach, right? You have to make sure the person you're traveling with wants those, too. So, for example, I love to eat. If I'm going to go anywhere on vacation, I want to be eating a majority of that day the local delicacies and meals and sweet treats. I want to eat stuff I couldn't get at home. Do not go on vacation with someone who has the appetite of a bird if you're going to go on vacation. It's just not a good matchup, okay? Because you're going to be hungry and you're going to be upset. And then you're going to be upset at the person who doesn't eat. And it's going to be a whole thing because you don't want to be upset because it's vacation, right? If you want to go on vacation to see museums, don't go with someone who only wants to hit the club, you know? Because if you want to hit the museum, you got to be up in the morning. Those museums are big, you know? You can't get through a museum, like, depending on what museum you're in. You can't get through a whole museum in a day, okay? That's just the truth. So you got to be there in the a.m., right? Like, when I go somewhere where it's not home, I want to be up and out by 9 in the morning. I want to have breakfast. I want to be out, right? You can't take the person who gets up at 1 p.m. on that vacation with you because you're going to be stuck in the hotel till 1 p.m. mad. That's what I would recommend when you're looking for someone to travel with. Now, that's my recommendation. I don't really have anything else. I feel like that's kind of a regular thing. Like, I don't know. Did that help you guys? Is anyone going on vacation soon? Call in if you're going on vacation soon. Phone number is 607-436-2711. Let me know. Where would you guys like to go on vacation next? Ooh, you should leave a question and answer that. I'll answer that. Okay, another question. What to do if my right foot is bigger than the other? Okay. If your right foot is bigger than the other, first of all, I just want to say you're going to get through this, okay? Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed, okay? This is an issue that a lot of people deal with, and I don't want you to be ashamed, okay? This is a completely regular, normal thing. If your right foot, whether it's a half size, a full size, or two sizes bigger than the other foot, that's okay. You know, some people have right hands that are bigger. Some people have left boobs that are bigger than the other boob. You know, you got to think about that. And you're going to be okay. Now, what to do? I'm not a podiatrist. I'm not a doctor. And I'm not sure the reason for that. But I can relate to you because I think my left foot is a little bigger than my right. So I have a very similar issue. The reason I think this is I tried on a pair of shoes recently and the left shoe was really tight, but the right shoe fit perfectly. A little strange, but, you know, it happens. So what can you do if one foot is bigger than the other? If one foot is bigger than the other, again, as someone who's not qualified to answer this question, this is what I would suggest you do. First of all, don't give up on shoes, okay? I know going barefoot is really popular right now. I know it's like getting in touch with nature and getting your natural foot shape back. You know, I can respect that and admire that. Don't give up on the shoes quite yet. Okay. And just like those people who like to go barefoot in society, but usually can't, this is what I suggest. Sandals. They like to wear sandals. And with the sandals, even if, like, the sandal is, like, okay, your right foot is bigger than the other, right? Even if the sandal on your right foot is, like, a little smaller than the left, there's all that open air for your toes to wiggle and, like, get space, you know? So you're not really going to feel boxed in unless the strap is too tight or, like, the base is really flat, okay? Like, I think a good solution would be sandals. The ones with the straps, a Birkenstock, a Gladiator, a flip-flop, a slide, you know? And that's a great solution for the summer, and I know you're thinking, what about the winter? Okay, here's my next suggestion. My next suggestion for the winter is that you find a pair of leather boots or a pair with a material that is like somewhat malleable. Because you can stretch out the shoe, okay? Don't worry about, you know, buying two pairs and the sizes for each foot and then swapping them and then finding out what to do with the other pair. Because, you know, that's not, where are you going to find someone who has a bigger left foot? Well, me. Hey, that's a good proposition. If anyone is listening, they have a bigger right foot than their left foot, and you'd like to, like, buy two pairs of shoes and then swap the left foot and swap the right foot so that you have the right size for each foot, call me. I wear a woman's 9 and a men's 6. Okay? Call me. I'm here every Sunday, which might get moved to Friday. We don't know yet. Call me. Anyways, get a pair with a little leather, something that you can stretch, you know? What is the name for the shoe guy? Who's the guy who makes the shoes? The cobbler? I think there's a different name for that. No, I think cobbler. I feel like there's a different shoe, like, fancy shoemaker name. Anyways, actually, you don't even have to go to a cobbler, but, you know, you could get these online. The shoe stretchers. You know what I'm talking about? It's like a little wooden, wooden shoe. It kind of looks like a mannequin foot. Or if you do art, you know, the little doll guys that you pose. It's a little wooden foot. Sorry, I just brushed the mic a little bit. And you put it in the shoe and you like, and it opens the foot because there's a split down the center and it'll slowly stretch the shoe out. So you don't even have to stretch it out yourself if you really don't want to, you know, you could have the wooden foot do that. I believe they're also used to just like keep your shoes in shape, like keep them from getting warped or like wrinkled or something. I'm not 100% sure. I would look into that, you know. And don't feel ashamed. A lot of people have a foot bigger than the other. I think it's pretty common. It might be genetic because I'm just remembering my brother had a foot that was bigger than his other foot. So maybe look into your family history. You know, you might want to look genetically. If your family has a history of having one foot that's bigger than the other, you could think about that. Again, don't feel ashamed. Don't ever feel ashamed. It's a regular thing. Okay? Now, on the topic of one foot being bigger than the other, we are going to take a break here. How did you guys like that segue? That was a good segue, right? We're halfway through the show. My show's from 11 to 12 every Sunday. I'm going to take a little break so that I can wet my palate and we can continue. I think we have 2 questions left and see what we can get through. Again, keep an eye out for posters. I think I'll be posting things so that if you have any questions, you can submit it. You're always welcome to call the studio. I think our website is updated, so the number is really easy to find. What is our website? WONYFM.org? Yes, we're .org. WONYFM.org. And don't forget, you are listening to WONY 909. Nope. 90.9 FM Oneonta College Radio. That's right. You're listening to WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta College Radio. I'm your host on air. You're listening to an episode of What? And I'll be right back after. We have no messages. I'm just going to play a song. And I'll let you guys just let me know. All right. I'll see you guys in a second. And we are back with What? I'm your DJ. I am your DJ. I'm your DJ on air, and we're back with the second half hour of What? The show where I answer questions that I'm not qualified to answer. And we have some great ones coming up that I think you guys are I hope you guys will enjoy it. Alright. So we're back from that short break. And I stepped outside, I drank some water. That was really delicious. And if you know, the studio is in the Hunt Union basement, which is getting remodeled. I'm sure everyone on campus knows this. So the Dragon Lair that had the games is closed, which is really sad. It was really fun. They had a lot of fun games. But it's okay because I think we're getting like a fancy door. I don't know what they're going to do there. I hope they get it done before they graduate because I want to know what they put. And I'll probably never come back here after I graduate. I am a senior this year. I don't know why I would come back here. I don't know. Maybe to go to someone's graduation. Maybe. Would I come back as a Wonnie alumni? I would come by because last couple Wonnie alumni, if you know every spring, every spring we have a Wonnie alumni weekend where the alumni can come back and have a show. Like, have their hour on the air. And I do like it because they get, like, really yummy food. And this one guy and his wife brought cookies, and he was really nice. I think it was DJ Woody Woodruff or something. He was really sweet, and it was like Italian cookies. I ate so many. Delicious. Shout out that guy. So maybe I would come back just for, like, the cookies and the food. But who knows? I also have a Little Italy in my town, so I can get rainbow cookies whenever I want. Okay. All right. Next question. If you are just joining, the last question I answered was, what would you do if your right foot was bigger than the other? And if it is bigger than the other, I would just recommend stretching the right foot out. Or maybe you could like start shrinking your right foot. I don't know. Okay. The question's been answered. Let's move on. Next question. What's the first anime I should watch if I've never watched any? That's a good question because I love anime. Anime shows from Japan. Animated shows from Japan. It's in the title. Anime animation. What is the first one you should watch if you've never watched any is a loaded question because not all anime is that good. I'm just going to be honest. I'm going to say it. No one else is saying it. There's a lot of really, really amazing animes. Don't get me wrong. But not every anime is amazing. Okay, I'm just going to say that. The easiest answer to this question is to find one that interests you, okay? Don't go for, like, the most popular one. Although the ones that are the most popular will be good. They will be, like, arguably conventionally good. Like, amazing, great. So maybe do watch the most popular ones. I would recommend you search for one that sounds interesting to you, okay? And don't feel, and this goes for anything that you watch or enjoy. Don't feel pressured to finish it. I'm a big proponent of just trying a lot of things, and if you like it, come back to it, okay? A lot of people are like, oh, I bought all this stuff for crafts and I don't do any of them and I wasted all that money. Okay, well, did you enjoy it? Yes, no. If you did, perfect. You can pick it back up and get into it. If you didn't, it's good that you know now. Okay? You know, because there are some crafts that are, a lot of crafts are a fair commitment of money, but some of them are not. Same with anime. If you like an episode, continue to watch it. If you don't, move on. You could say that for any show, anything, you know? Food a little less because you should finish your food, okay? You shouldn't waste the food. That's different, okay? Skittles, that's, you know, that's low commitment. You can try a color. If you don't like the color, you can just pick that out and not eat that color, you know? But, you know, that's just, watch what you want to watch. But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. This is a bad habit of mine, okay? I do this with YouTube videos. I open the YouTube video, and I watch maybe 2 minutes, and I close it, okay? And I didn't gain anything from that. I didn't enjoy it for those 2 minutes. I didn't really learn anything. No enjoyment was had, you know. But what would have happened if I had watched the next 3 minutes of that YouTube video. We just don't know. We just don't know because I clicked off and I'll never find it again. Anime is a lot like that. I would say if you click on the episode, watch the whole episode, you know, watch the outro, see how you feel, and put that towards YouTube. I know whoever's on YouTube Shorts right now, don't do that, okay? I think YouTube Shorts is arguably the worst out of the short form content. You know, YouTube Shorts is scary. I don't like YouTube Shorts. So maybe do that. You know, just go for it, okay? And it's nice because they're low commitment. They're like 20 minutes, you know? A lot of, like, television has got like 40-minute episodes now. If you watch a cartoon, it's like 13 minutes. Can I say, I love, like, an 11 to, like, a 10-minute format for TV. I love that. Like, I think it makes more sense for cartoons, obviously, you know, because it's just like little vignettes. It's like little comic strips and they're cut up and you can have two episodes in one. And it's amazing. I just wish every show was like that. Like, to me, 10 minutes is like perfect. I can eat that while I'm eating like breakfast and it's the perfect amount. You know, if an episode is like 20 minutes, I can eat breakfast, but I'm a quick eater. I'm going to be done before the 10-minute mark. If the episode is 45 minutes, that's, I can't finish that. I'm never going to go back and finish it, you know? But, the, you know, this is depending because I did start the show, if anyone knows, Columbo, where he's a detective. And he goes, oh, I'm Columbo, and I'm like goofy, but I'm actually a really good detective. And those episodes are like an hour and a half. That's okay, because you can watch them while you do homework. Anyways, I don't know if I really answered that question. Just watch what interests you, because there's a lot of genres in anime, and there's going to be something. So go ahead and you got that. All right, next question. That wasn't the question. Is it worth buying a $200 perfume or three smaller ones for the same price? Okay. Now, you may be wondering where this question is from. This was a question posed to me, not for the show, but it was posed to me in conversation by my dear brother, two brother mentions today. And he was like, I'm poor, but I got this coupon for perfume, so I'm going to buy perfume. And then he was like, should I buy like three little perfumes or this one big perfume that I really want? But it's, I'm kind of broke, like I can't afford that. This question means nothing to me, because I don't care about perfume. I'm sorry. I really want to. I want to be the guy that has the signature scent. I don't know if I'll ever find my signature scent, but let's answer the question anyways, because there might be some perfume fans there, and I don't want to let you guys down, okay? From what I understand about perfume, is that you... It's from my, okay, my concept of perfume is, should I spend a lot of money on this hit or miss item? Now, this is only if you're ordering it online because you can't smell it. I know you have the notes. I don't know if you guys are actually able to visualize like what it's going to smell like with the notes. I can't, you know, so... If you're that person, this might not actually be an issue for you at all. Now, if you're buying it in person, that's not an issue because you can smell the scent. You know what you're signing up for. You know the price and you're ready to walk out with it. I feel like this context changes in the form of online shopping. Okay. And again, this question is foreign to me because I don't understand the mindset behind the perfume. And I don't mean like the, oh, I want to smell good. That's pretty universal. People want to smell good. You want to find a scent that's like wonderful and delicious. I just don't know if most people who buy perfume are looking for a signature scent that they always want to wear, or if they like a large like arrangements of perfumes and colognes that work for them and that they would like to swap out swap out per occasion. Now, if you're a per occasion guy, I would probably say you should get 3 or 4 smaller perfumes for the same price. If you're a signature scent guy, I would say get the big bottle. But if you're the signature scent guy, if you get the big bottle and it's not your signature scent, then what are you going to do with that bottle of perfume? The resale value is no good. You know, the atomizer is subpar. Like, I don't know. Jeremy Fragrance, get him on the phone because I don't know the answer to this question. I would recommend, this is for all perfume fans, okay? I would recommend every perfume fan, before you have found your signature scent, I would go with buying the samples and the testers and the small bottles, okay? Because in my mind, this is a process of elimination for you guys. In my mind, you really need to whittle down what you're looking for before you commit. And that's a pretty normal thing. I would say that's actually pretty responsible. The more you know, the more you do, the more you learn. It's just like any other experience. The more perfumes you smell, the more you're going to know what perfume you want. And that's just the truth. Again, this is an issue, however, because perfumes are expensive. Now, I'm thinking like Macy's perfumes, department store perfumes. If we're talking like Bath and Body Works, go wild, okay? That's just fun. That's amazing. Doesn't matter what you get from Bath and Body Works, you're probably going to smell good to the average person, okay? You would really need like a really snarky like European person to come up and be like, are you wearing Sakura Cherry Blossom from Bath and Body Works 2017 collection? Yeah, I can tell. You know, that's not going to happen. If you're in Bath and Body Works, just go wild. You know, get the wall plugs, get the lotions, get the body sprays, get it all. Get the hand sanitizers, okay? No matter what you're going to do, you're going to smell good. And honestly, if you're trying to get into the premium perfume lifestyle, that's a good intro. Okay? Because Bath & Body Works, say it's cheap if you want, they're going to have the fragrance sales. They're going to, you know, they try to appeal to everyone. So even like Bath & Body Works, what do they have? They have like the White Barn or whatever. Like they have another add-on that's trying to appeal to a more mature scent audience, right? So they're going to have notes of green tea. They're going to have semblances of musk. You know, they're going to have wood and vetiver, probably, I assume, or something similar. You know, no one is born knowing everything. No one man is born knowing every scent. You know, how old were you when you knew what wintergreen smelled like? You know, how old were you when you knew what ozone smelled like? You know? You got to consider that. So to answer your question, if you should buy a big one and or 3 small perfumes, it depends on where you are in your fragrance journey, I think. That's my answer as someone who's not a fragrance fan. I would say if you're starting off, get the 3 small ones. If you're a veteran, get the big bottle. You know what's going on. You've done your time smelling candles at Pottery Barn, and you've done your rounds of the Macy's perfume counter. You know what's up. So I say get the big bottle. But if you're just starting out, get the little small, get the testers. You know, go into Sephora, spray it on the little paper strip and waft it around and sniff it, and then smell the coffee beans after, and then make your choice. Okay. I hope this has been informative for the people who are getting chased by bees, for the people who have a right foot that's bigger than their left foot, and for the people who are looking to purchase perfume. I hope you guys have all enjoyed the first episode of What? My name is On. I'm your DJ On Air. And hopefully next episode we'll have some more better questions. I don't know how else to say that. I hope you guys learned something. I didn't. I enjoyed it, though. And just like buying perfumes, as long as you enjoy it, what else really matters? I'll be here every Sunday. Again, we might move it to Friday, but for now, I'll be here every Sunday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. with my show, What? Anything you should keep an eye out for this semester? Hey, this is actually a great moment, guys. I have a gallery opening this Thursday, September 10th, I think is a Thursday. So it's the 6th. I say gallery opening. It's not my gallery opening. I have a few pieces in there. Come and see it. It's in the art buildings. The reception is at 5 p.m. It's in the Martin Mullen Gallery, so the tiny one, I believe. Or no, I think it's the Project Space Gallery is the tiny one. It's the tiny one in the hallway in the first floor of the art building. Come and see me. I'll be there. And I don't know yet if I'm going to wear a suit or a fancy button-up that I bought. But, you know, you got to come and find out which one I'm going to wear. So come and see that. I think there's a comedian tonight. Okay. I'm not going to say anything. Are you guys going to go? I'm not going to go. I think you guys should go, though. Not me, but you guys should go. I think there's a comedian tonight somewhere. Who knows? What else is happening? I don't know. Whatever. You guys are going to hear the weekly news after this. I don't know who's on after me. If anyone is on after me, I would maybe stay and find out. I don't see anyone here, so maybe not. But we'll see. I hope everyone has a lovely day. I hope you guys all, for the people who woke up late and didn't get breakfast, I hope you guys have time to get lunch. I know I'm going to go get lunch. And in another day, we'll complain about the fact that they closed Mills on the weekends. Because what the heck? Like, that's just not right. It's messed up. All right. I hope you guys all have a wonderful day. Hope you guys all have a wonderful day. Whoa, I hope you guys do have a wonderful one of those. I hope you guys all have a wonderful day. Again, my name is On. I'm your DJ On Air. You're listening to my show, What? Every Sunday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. I'll be here next week. Hashtag stay chill, okay? Bye.
But it's fading now. I can feel your love, Iron City. I have feel you are. I was here before you can't see me anymore. I
What a nice day. I should put on some music. Aw, rats. My speaker ran out of battery. Don't worry, I brought my radio. You're listening to WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta.
You can't buy a best friend. You can love them, walk them, pet them, and care for them, whether they want you to or not. You can take a picture or 50. You can fly to the moon, travel the world, or just stay in bed. You can't buy a best friend like that, but you can adopt one. There are millions of pets waiting for a best friend just like you. Help us save them all at bestfriends.org.
Hello, everybody. I hope everyone...